welcome back to the Challenge Double Agents Wrap Up Podcast for episode 10. I am Brian Cohen. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Ali Asher. Ali, how are you?
Welcome back, Brian. Glad to have you back. Glad to be back. Hopefully, you know, I almost said we'll be back the rest of the season. Who can say? I don't know. Where do I get off saying that?
I know. I'm surprised you didn't do the full partner switch, and I was fully gone. I thought Chappelle's here. I'm a rogue agent. I was waiting to be picked up by the Bachelor podcast or something.
Chappelle's too big for us. He pretended that, you know, he graced us with his presence, but
he's the mercenary that comes in.
Yeah, he's like the one and done. He's like the Olympian who shows up, like Polo Jones, who will never be heard from again.
Well, that's quite the insult. I mean, Olympians on reality TV, Lolo. Crystal, Tia, don't put that on Chappelle.
Wow, imagine being an Olympian, being an insult. But how was your drive? How was your? I laugh at my own best audience. I enjoyed my tweet telling you to keep your eyes on the road while you were tweeting about something.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was, but yeah, 13 hours on the road is a long time with a 10-month-old puppy right next to you.
Oh my God, I almost thought you said baby. I was like, is there a world where you'd have a baby and I wouldn't know? Maybe.
Could be. Could be. But no baby. Puppy, which kind of feels worse sometimes.
Say no baby one more time. You sound like you'd press your luck. No whammy, stop. You sound like a Tony.
Imagine being a dad right now. Yeah. Oh, man.
So any thoughts on last week? I have one thing I want to tie up that I don't think Chappelle and I dove deep enough into that I've been thinking about, but I would love to hear some of your thoughts on last week, if you have any.
Other than, like you said, it is kind of fun to just sit back and watch an episode and not take detailed notes and, I mean, kind of watch it freely. I do like that. But I did kind of miss giving thoughts. I don't really have anything top of mind because, again, whenever these episodes finish, they kind of just flow out of my brain. I never think of that about them ever again. So I don't have any thoughts other than Chappelle was great at the podcast, which is not surprising. But Shims of the episode, nothing pressing. But what was the question that you had? And maybe that will spur some other thoughts.
So Casey wins the elimination. She chooses to stay with Leroy. Especially watching Fessy work Gabby over to try to get picked by her. Any surprise that Casey didn't pick Fessy and or we didn't see Fessy like sort of jockeying to get picked by Casey?
A little, only because the Casey Leroy dynamic. I mean, if like they would basically be what we think of Lolo and Nam, but they're like good at the show, like they're good at the challenges. Like they don't really work well together as a pair, but they perform. So like it kind of slides by. So it is surprising, but I guess they really just like the idea of these alliances not really merging and still having tentacles in all these other pairs. So it kind of fits with what everyone's kind of been doing, like keeping like your alliance in a separate team.
Yeah. I mean, it would have been a return to, because Fessy picked Casey when he switched and Leroy was with Anissa for like a challenge. Right. So Yeah, I definitely agree that it's like, they like the division. Also like Leroy's got drive. He's connected to Cam. Like maybe you piss Cam off and cut, like sever that tie if you go with Fessy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was just a little like surprised it wasn't more of a no-brainer, because when they were in power, they had that weird dynamic, like you're saying, sort of that Lolo Nam dynamic, where she was like, I'm not giving him any information, I don't trust him. And he was like, she's not giving me any information, she must not trust me.
Mm-hmm. And Casey's a pretty, like, she tries to be a pretty loyal player. So I'm sure maybe if she had the opportunity to switch first, the result could have been different. But the fact that Leroy could have switched and didn't, maybe Casey felt a little obligated to, you know, he stuck by me, I'll stick by him.
All right. So that's really the only thing I was thinking about carrying into this episode. I think generally, you know, Chappelle and I both felt we've sort of reached the lull midway point where we have to sort of get rid of the riffraff, clean up sort of the inevitable, make the inevitable sort of cleanups before we get to a more exciting part. And I think this episode was more of a continuation of that, of like, they did a great job in the edit trying to make it like it'd be an exciting, interesting outcome. But ultimately, this episode was sort of like replacement level challenge.
Yeah, it's interesting because by no means am I asking for to be continues, because I really definitely don't want that. But it is a little interesting just to have the same thing each week and with no real shifts. Like, it is really beat by beat. They've really stuck to it almost all season, the same beats. So, like, we do need something to shake it up a little bit, and I don't mean a to be continued. I mean, like, double elimination or, you know, switching up guys versus girls day. But again, I think they just got so screwed with, like, with the people, with the girls that had to go home early, and now they just have to catch up to so they can match up with Skulls. It really took so much of the flexibility out of the producer's hands, I feel like. Otherwise, I feel like we would have been seeing some more interesting stuff break down.
We'll also definitely get into it, but, you know, part of it is, like, we got a question later about, like, are the Skulls working? And I think maybe this is the episode to have that conversation, because I feel like we keep getting the carrot dangled of, like, a great matchup, like CT and Josh, like, come on, take my money. And then we get the rug pulled under us. Like, then it ends up being like, okay, Amber M and Amber B, fine. I'm not interested in that. If that's the headline fight, I'm skipping it. So, you know, I feel like part of it is the format. Part of it's what you're saying. There is no sort of, like, they're getting very unlucky, both in exactly what you said, who went home, the amount of women who went home early, and, like, the way the cookie is crumbling in terms of, like, okay, like, who is going in? The fact that they are keeping Lolo out. Like, that's what I want to see. I want to see Lolo compete. I want to see CT compete. And because of the format, I'm not seeing them compete, and I'm upset about it.
Yeah. And I think another issue that I've had is this now a couple weeks now where it's like people aren't making decisions because they don't know exactly what's going to happen, which is in one way fine. But when the people in power, like the double agents, when they win, they should have even more information. I feel like, you know, we got a little bit of a bonus when they found out who voted for who with the Kyle stuff. But other than that, that's been pretty much a dud of information. I feel like the big piece of information that they should have been getting in that bunker is if it's a guy's day or a girl's day. Like, I feel like that would help shape so many of the decisions that they would these teams would be able to make that would go far more than knowing who voted for who. And I think that's the piece that they really screwed up not doing.
Yeah, I mean, we beat this drum every season where it's like, I'm not interested. Yes, a few twists here and there, right? Survivor, you generally know the format, and then maybe one season there's going to be a final four fire making and, like, people get screwed and they have to adapt to, like, random format changing. Fine, whatever. Oh, there's an idol nullifier this season. Okay, your plans are screwed. I generally want to be able to see people strategize knowing the rules and the parameters. I totally agree. I think that would be interesting if that was just an advantage that the power couple had. But I would be okay if the whole every week it's like girls' day on the board and you walk in and you see. Mm-hmm. Because I agree, it's very frustrating seeing people who are honestly justifiably upset, afraid to make a move that will screw their partner. Like, I understand not wanting to be the person who goes down to be the Gabby and then forces Devin to go home with a skull because it ends up being a guy's day and he didn't consent to wanting to go in. Like, I totally understand that social pressure keeping you out from doing that move.
Yeah.
Keeping you out like from that. Doing that move. Ugh, it's been a long day, guys.
I think that's right. But you guys, I mean, I think, like, obviously we'll get to it, but Gabby and Devin both, I think, acted completely as they should have. Devin, there was no upside to help for Devin to help Gabby get a skull other than just to be a good teammate. But other than that, like, he doesn't know Gabby from, you know, Jane Doe on the street before the season started. So what does he care? And now, and he's going to risk his potential game over this. Like, how many eliminations is Devin going to win that he's going to risk having to go in a second one when he's already probably going to have to go in another time? So now he's increasing it even more, even if it's a 1% chance as a guy's day. So yeah, I think they both were acting accordingly, and it just sucks that Devin, they just didn't know what the result would be.
So we're not the only ones, you know, looking to see more exciting eliminations. CT and Devin strategized at the top of this episode that Devin wants CT as his number one. I'm going to help you get a skull. And then Nam is number two. Please explain to me why Devin's master plan, besides just entertainment, and maybe it's just pure entertainment because I was ready to be entertained, is get rid of maybe the only person with the skull right now that A, Devin could beat in a final, and that's still sort of debatable, and B, that another person might target to take their skull over Devin and replace that man with Nam or CT.
I think it has to A, be, again, entertainment, because Devin really tries to make a good show, which I appreciate. But also B, I don't think Devin thought he would win another challenge. Like, there's no way. He just think, oh, I'll make these promises. Sure, CT, I'll help you get a skull if I'm in a position of power, knowing like, oh, I probably won't be. And it's like he just happened to win one. But, like, I don't think he thought he would have to, you know, cash that check.
Yeah, I agree with you. I thought this was like pretty good strategy on Devin's part to say, like, you want me here as opposed to Josh, if you end up in power and can choose who you will go against, because I'm going to be looking out for you and Josh isn't. So, like, if you're choosing between the two of us to steal our skull, why don't I pretend to be on the side with CT and Nam? And he is on their side. I just think, as we see, Michelle Marshy says, why did they show the scene with Devin promising CT that he'd vote him down? Once he gets power, he doesn't even utter CT's name once. Even if they were 100% confident it was a girl's day, wouldn't CT want the opportunity to throw a big T to the wolves so he could get a new partner? We don't see any hints of CT trying to get Devin to follow through. So, like, it's a great question. Like, I agree that the rationale is, like, Devin doesn't think he'll ever be in this position. But when he ends up in the position, we don't see CT coming back to him and saying, all right, now you do my bidding like you promised.
Yeah, what we did see a little, I think we saw Nam coming up to him one time and he was like, well, CT is ahead of you in the queue. So I don't think CT really had a push. I think it was kind of just understood that if it was a guy's day, he would do it. But I guess it was really just so thought of as a girl's day, even though Devin wouldn't risk it. But I don't think he was really ever really forced to make a decision there. But I think Nam tried to force Devin's hand a little bit with it.
And to the big T point, like, I agree CT is probably looking to get rid of her generally, although he has said he'll take an L on the season. But if you become his best case scenario, right, is he becomes, I guess the best case scenario is that what Amber beats CT and he ends up big T and he ends up with Amber, who's a worse social player than big T. Or he ends up as the rogue agent and then doesn't get a bite at the apple for the guy's day getting a skull. So
right.
I actually think just sort of holding the line in this situation is his best option.
I think so. And I think I wonder, this is now the part of the season where we could see people trying to force someone to be a rogue agent, be a strategic play, A, for someone with a skull to avoid getting tossed in, and B, for trying to like force someone like a CT or a Nam to become a rogue agent so they can't get their skull. I wonder if that'll come up in these final stretch.
Let's talk about Fessy and Gabby. Speaking of manipulation and forcing people to do things with partners. We haven't talked about this. Have you watched the after show hosted by Girl Devin?
No. Girl
Devin. So there's a former contestant who's on the challenge who I still think competed in one of the hardest finals that I can remember us talking about. Was that Free Agents?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like when I think of a hard final, I like think of that. That at least was a final that paid off, I think, to the viewers that we could appreciate how difficult it was. But anyway, I digress. I really like that season. So Devin, is her name Devin Simone?
Yep.
I think I follow her on Instagram. She's a good follow. Anyway, she's like a professional TV person now. She's a host. She's, you know, whatever. She's like bigger than us now, us being the show. And she hosts, which I think she's actually a great pick to be hosting after shows, reunions, et cetera, because she's professional and she's of the world. But she is hosting this sort of like Zoom after show that I think you and I have just completely dodged watching. And I've started I saw a clip, like a preview clip, and I was like, okay, this won't be spoilers. Let me watch this like 3-minute clip on Twitter. And it was an interview with Fessy about the Gabby situation. Now, obviously, Fessy's rumored to sort of like be with Tori. And so I think he's downplaying. My sense is he's downplaying like whatever happened between him and Gabby as sort of like a whatever thing on the show. But that's just, you know, one girl's speculation. It was uncomfortable for me to listen to this. Granted, I only watched a clip out of context for a few minutes. So maybe he's somehow ultra redeeming right before and or right after. But he basically is a jerk about it. He's like, oh, yeah, it was really fun to like flirt with Gabby and piss Devin off. And just like it was really all about pissing Devin off. And like, you know, she's a great girl. But it was like that was an in-house thing. And then she's like, did Gabby think it was an in-house thing? And then it cuts out. But it's like, then it tracks to this episode where he's basically acting like everything he's doing with Gabby is to get a rise out of Devin. And it's like not a good look for someone As a spiteful queen myself, I still don't think it's a great look.
No, and it also doesn't even track because he's been doing this all season and like they went out of event partners all season. So what is that? Like, why was he doing it the first few weeks? So that, it doesn't even track the storyline.
Yeah, I mean, he also has this like not great quote where he's like, well, now Tori's gone. I'll pay attention to Gabby. It's like, ugh. But anyway, so she's starting to get itchy to do an elimination. And Fessy, maybe 1 ounce of strategic play from Fessy coming out, saying, like, trying to convince Gabby to pick him as a partner. I think that's kind of a good move for Fessy, because it's not like Gabby's going to go run tell Anissa, and then it's not like he has to go in to get the switch. And Gabby's, like, a fit partner.
Yeah, and even if she did tell Anissa, I think Fessy's made it pretty clear to mostly everyone that he'll switch if he get given the opportunity. So, I mean, what is Anissa going to do? Ditch him as a partner? Like, no. So, I mean, there's nothing really downside of if she goes running. And it is, I mean, good for Fessy to try to think of that as a maneuver, because Gabby would be a good partner for him. So that's smart move for him, I guess.
I also think Gabby's being very fun. Like, Gabby's been fun to watch. I don't know if she just, like, maybe is a little understated, but when I pay attention to what she's saying, it always makes me laugh. Like when she's like, well, yeah, you almost won last season. And he's like, well, what about what I'm doing this season? And she's like, yeah, you only care about winning and not anybody else. Like, she's got funny digs on him, which I can appreciate. Yep.
It is crazy. So I think this is the first hookup or kiss the entire season that we've seen. But that's crazy when you think about the history of this show that was like built on like these hookups that caused all these drama and stuff. And episode 10, the first thing we're getting on camera is a Fessy Gabby kiss. What a time.
Is this so? Lolo and Nam kissed, confirmed by Lolo. Michi and Amber M had a thing, confirmed by Chappelle. And then this Gabby and Fessy stuff. Is this the first season Nani's been on single that she hasn't hooked up with someone?
I'm going to just, with no remembering, say yes. And I feel like I'm
well, because she kissed Asaf last season. She kissed Chase from The Bachelor.
Yeah.
I don't know what season that was.
Which is incredible, because they both left in like the first episode or the second episode, and she still, you know, got in there.
They say Corey's incredible. They say Corey's the curse. Yeah. No, and I don't mean to shame Nani. I like this element of it. I think you're bringing up a good point, which is like we are missing sort of like the romantic drama. And maybe part of it is because they just like go to the igloo. Like it's not really like they're really going out. A lot of them are in serious relationships at home. Not that that's ever stopped anyone before.
No, that sometimes it encourages it even more.
All right. Let's talk about the breakup of Lolo and Nam. My brother wants to know, are we team Nam or are we team Lolo? And I think we should just hash out their whole drama in just one fell swoop here, if that's okay with you.
Yeah. I mean, this has been building for a few weeks, and it's not going to end this week because like nothing was resolved and it's going to continue next week, but it's getting close to the point where I don't even care anymore, which is sad for both of them because I was so excited for both of them on this season. But like it just needs to end. It's just not going to end until something happens and nothing keeps happening. But unfortunately, Lolo and Nam, their communication is just poor every time out. Nam feels Lolo doesn't listen to him. Lolo thinks Nam doesn't listen to her. They don't, you know, one's too bossy. One doesn't speak up. They're not clear. It's every type of communication thing that is wrong is what they're dealing with.
Yeah, and I think part of it is like, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong here, if you dare. No, correct me if I'm wrong. Like, I don't know that we've really seen their communication breakdowns. Like, obviously we saw, you know, Nam didn't finish strong. Like, I asked, just please finish strong with me or whatever. Like, we've seen like little fights. But I don't, and we know that they haven't won and maybe they were like favored to be winning challenges, but I don't know that I've really felt like they're a complete disaster every challenge. It's more that I've been told while Lolo sort of relentlessly tells Nam that they have these communication breakdowns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's not even that they're a disaster. I think they're just a disaster from expectations, both of what we all thought they would do and probably what they each individually thought they would do. They thought, both of them probably thought they're going to come in here and dominate and win a bunch of these challenges, get power, win eliminations. And everyone's disappointed. And I think that's probably building a lot of the frustration, both for everyone involved. They just can't believe they're losing and they're starting to take it out on each other. They don't necessarily want to blame themselves. So they're lashing out. So yeah, it's just a powder keg. That's all bad.
We find out from Lolo that one of the biggest disagreements, and I want to highlight this because last week I was sort of like, why isn't Lolo coming every week to the meeting being like, throw me in this week, guys, throw me in, I'm volunteering. Mm-hmm. I want to be in, throw me in, throw me in. And it turns out that Nam doesn't want to be thrown in. Nam wants to be sort of like have his pick at the challenge and at the crater. And Lolo has wanted to be nominated as a house vote. And because of the dynamic you were talking about before, where we don't know if it's men's or women's days, Lolo has not been able to sort of play that the way she wants to. And I would also find that frustrating because I really don't. I know I always say, we always say whatever, that your best case scenario is like, as a rookie, like Nam, let's say, or like an Amber B or an Amber M, is like, stay as long as you can without going home, make an impact, and then become a reoccurring person. Don't really worry about getting your skull and going to the end and whatever when you're not going to win. But yeah, for someone like Nam, where his main, you know, he's got fun confessionals, and I really have enjoyed his friendships with the guys in the house, but he does not, you know, sing on camera 100%. Like, he's not like giving us great personality 100% of the time and high energy. He's there to be a turbo, to be just like a physical beast. So show up and go in against anybody.
Totally agree. Totally agree. Yeah, I think you have to know who you are and what your strength is, both A, like for the show, but also as an entertainer. And like we say about the people, like you're saying, the people who we want, like Swaggy, like we mentioned last season or a couple seasons ago, while he could be good in some of the challenges, he's not like the biggest guy. So he needs to make his name for his personality, for stuff he was going to do in the house. But for Nam, absolutely, he needs to show that he's a power. As he goes in and wins, you know, three eliminations, that's how he gets called back. Not for making, you know, silent one-liners that he's rooting for Amber in an Amber versus Amber
elimination. The dad joke.
That's just not going to be what gets Nam back. So yeah, I totally agree. He should have wanted to go in every, his move should have been like, even if he got a skull, be like, I still want to go in. I just want to go in and fight and do all that stuff. That would have been Nam's thing to do.
But okay, as far as like, I think Lolo, well, I'll let Ethan say it, and not to pander to me, not saying pandering to me gets your question asked, or being related to me, but it definitely helps. Ethan, who put in parentheses, Ali Lasher Stan, says, I think the edit is intentionally trying to villainize Lolo with Nam when in real life they're both to blame. Do you think Lolo will leave or quit or be removed next week? I think she is removed to her mental state, but we might be shown it as a quit. So there's a lot to break down in that question. In terms of Team Nam or Team Lolo, I find myself being Team Lolo. One, because she acknowledged her podcast. But again, pandering helps. But I have felt the whole time that we're not seeing a lot. We are seeing Lolo get really mad at, and frankly beat Nam down. Like, all we see are scenes of him saying to camera, I'm not going to give up on our team. I believe in her. Mm-hmm. I believe in us. And then he sits silently mostly while she says, you do this wrong and you do this wrong and you do this wrong and you don't do this right and you don't do that right. And so naturally, I think the edit would suggest Lolo's crazy. But I think, like we said when they were hooking up, that Nam says a lot of the right things to camera in his confessionals, but is not expressing that sentiment to Lolo. And I feel like there must be more going on for Lolo to be acting like this. She's definitely not going about it the right way. I think if she watched this footage back, she would be like, wow, I didn't communicate effectively to him. Who can listen to that? You shut down when somebody talks to you like that. But I don't think Nam is this like innocent, charming man with suspenders doing nothing wrong and just taking Lolo's beating like the edit might suggest.
Yeah, it's definitely not 100% on either of them. Like, it's definitely a blended mix. It's hard to say it's more on Nam, at least for me, just because, like, I know the edit is depicting Lolo more as the bad person, but for me, that's really all I can go off. So I'm going to just follow what the show is telling me and say it is more Lolo, but definitely some Nam. So maybe like a 60-40 type thing. But it definitely is it. If it's gone on for this long, it's on both of them because they both haven't figured out a way to work together properly if that's what is causing their divide. So it's definitely on both of them, at least to some degree.
So the preview jumping ahead gave us a little like Lolo might quit. Do you think that that's sort of a red herring or that's possible?
Based off this season, I mean, it's certainly possible. I hope not. I wouldn't want to see how, you know, Lolo go out that way, not just because, you know, that would help the other team in our must lose draft, but because I just want to see her get a chance to compete and see what she can do in elimination. I just, you know, I as that level of competitor, I would just hate to see her leave like that.
I just don't see Lolo quitting. Like, I don't see that as a possibility for her.
I hope not.
But we'll see. And I think like that preview, like, did I forget when Leo left or anybody else leaving? Did we get a preview of them leaving? Like, I feel like the fact that they're showing us she might leave is just like, there's no way.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, they definitely didn't show anything like it for Natalie, and I don't think they did for Leo. So I think they kind of those kind of just popped up.
All right. So we get Gabby sort of being wise to Amber B. What are your feelings on Ms. Borzotra as we go into her sort of coronation episode?
Yeah, she's had a big few weeks after quiet for both her and Darrell. Most of the season, the last few weeks, she's been front center. She's been good. You know, I like that she is getting into the mix. I think this is a good spot for her. She's the kind of the perfect person on that degree of like she needs to kind of last as long as possible. And now she's starting to like make a name for herself. So it is working out very well. I think it's going to help her that she's the only Amber left. I think that's really going to help her because I'm still getting confused, but the Amber B Big Brother has really helped. So now I can focus, but being a one Amber really helps. So yeah, I think she's proving herself. I think she got a good chance now to make the final. So if she does well there, she's, you know, good for her. She's had a good run.
I'm cooling on Amber Borzotra. I gotta say I'm cooling on her. I sort of am buying into, as I just defended Lolo, I'm buying into the edit of Gabby's explanation, which is like she plays all sides of the house and then she acts like upset about it. I don't buy the like the itty bitty committee being mad at her for playing the Big Brother side. But I think she was a little bit pulling a Josh, beating herself up like, oh, I should have gone against Teresa. I blew it. Like that's maybe something we could talk about how you felt last week. Like I felt like that was bar none easy, the best decision she could have made to not go in. And the fact that she's now, when she can't do anything about it, being like, oh no, maybe I missed my opportunity. I like thought that was fake.
Very much so. And she probably would have lost. I mean, Teresa is quite good. Not
100%.
Yeah, I totally agree with Chappelle that Teresa's not like this godsend, but I think she definitely would have beaten Amber there. So, but yeah, I think, you know, that was, I agree. That was a Josh move of being like, oh, I should have went in, blah, blah, blah. Totally agree.
All right, I think we have the Daily next, according to my meticulous notes.
Yeah, the Black Sand Ops, a very Survivor-like challenge. 10, there are 100 lit posts in the sand, 10 puzzle pieces per team. They have to race out and dig them up. And if you dig up someone else's puzzle piece, you can help the other team or dig it right back down. You collect the 10 puzzle pieces and then assemble a statue. First team to do it wins.
I'm feeling flexible for the first time in my life, in my opinion, on this challenge. I'd love to hear what you thought of it.
I thought it was great. The one thing I didn't, well, I love the idea of you can either help a team or hurt a team or just like being different toward a team. I wish we saw more of it play out. I wish we saw they kind of hinted at some of the teams helping each other, but we didn't really see it. And they kind of hinted at teams like wanting to like hurt some of them. And we kind of saw it in the beginning, but it didn't really play out that strongly. I wish we saw more of that playing out because the concept is very cool.
It felt very similar to the challenges we complain about where it's like, oh, fill someone's bucket with car parts. And then like we can't really follow it. It's like too many people and hard to see who's helping who and who's hurting who. And, you know, most of them ended up with like pretty even amount of puzzle pieces. Anyway, we heard a lot of people saying I'm not helping Devin, but then Devin ends up having 8 puzzle pieces before a lot of people. I agree. I would have rather, I feel like I like that they tried this. I think overall, I would say it's like a 6.5 to 7 out of 10 on the attempt. I think there are a lot of things I would improve about the challenge, or they would be improvements to me. I think this group, especially with the skulls, can't be trusted with helping and hurting other people. Like the way that they did it, where they just gave Fessy and Nisa the win, the way that the men didn't participate in the challenge on the like floating mm-hmm. punching bag of mesh, whatever. Like, right. I think we need some straight athletic competitions or puzzle competitions that they can't manipulate. Cause I just feel like this, there's too much overthinking and manipulation that it's not super working. And like in a challenge, in a show like Survivor, I like a chop, coconut chop challenge or challenge like this, where you have to show your hand, where you might be lying to everyone about where you stand. I feel like here we sort of know where everybody stands more or less. And it's not a surprise to me that it didn't really end up mattering, that nobody was helping other people, whatever. I'm probably not making any sense. I would have rather seen at this point in the game, 10 torches, and we're able to track how far people are coming, who's ahead, who's not. I have no momentum in a challenge like this where I'm just seeing them basically mm-hmm. jog and put puzzle pieces, and they're like 8 puzzle pieces, 7 puzzle pieces. I have no concept. I have no adrenaline. I have no excitement watching that. I agree that if they were able to make it work the way you're saying, great. But if they're not, then scrap it all together. I'd rather see just like a straight competition. If I'm nitpicking, my other issue is make it a solvable puzzle. I don't want to see people just memorizing and running back and putting it together. I'd rather see someone be rewarded for puzzle ability. Just a small one woman's opinion.
Yeah, I think that's all fair. I think the reason this played better for me than like that water filling challenge in the beginning was there was far less teams, obviously, so it was a lot easier to track. And we had, obviously, again, a much better understanding of the like the dynamics, where I think that was episode 2 that they did that, so we really had like no idea what was even going on amongst that. It's not that we really do much now, but at least we have a better understanding, so we were able to follow a little bit more, like who would be helping who would be trying to hurt who. So that helped it a little bit. I wonder if this would have even played better, like they love these like doing challenges in heats. I wonder if it would have been better if it was like, you know, the first, you know, 5 teams to collect their puzzle pieces move on to the puzzle, and then you're just doing a puzzle rather than it kind of all playing out at once. Maybe that could have played it out a little bit better.
And that's really interesting, right? Because then are people more less reluctant to help because it's not like mutually beneficial? Then it's a zero sum. Like if you get a spot, that's a spot I don't get.
Mm-hmm. I did like that there. Obviously, yeah. There's a clear winner, so that's a plus. Good plus there.
But credit to the challenge. They try new things. This was, you know, something we haven't really seen before. Although I'm sure people are going to at me. Don't at me. I don't care if you've seen something similar. Mm-hmm. But like to me, this, it also felt like a Survivor challenge. It felt like a noticeably different vibe from the rest of the way the season has been. And I, you know, try it out. I like it. I feel like it can be improved upon, but I baseline enjoyed it.
And it was, you know, just perfect for Josh and Nani to have a huge lead and just, you know, I don't think they even got 3 of the pieces there once it was all said and done. So, you know, good for them.
Another thing.
A for trying.
Michelle Marshy says, did Nam get hurt? I mean, he definitely did, .. But then, .. question mark. What happened to that?
Yeah. Great point. I totally forgot about that until just now, that he got, like, clearly hurt his back. Like, he was wincing in pain as I almost cough up lung. I don't know what happened. They didn't come back to it. It's like they've done this before this season where someone gets hurt in a challenge and they just don't go back to it. I mean, obviously Nam didn't go into the elimination, but like, why wouldn't that come up? He was trying to like get himself voted, the team voted in. How did that not come up? I guess he's fine.
I thought he was having a heart attack when he was like, my whole left side is out. I was like, he's about to drop. I was very worried about him.
Yeah, it's scary out there.
And then it's like the synergy again between NGOG, not to spoil the ending of Win It All, the movie we covered inexplicably this week, but a lot of synergy there, if God forbid, Nam was having a heart attack, but I'm glad that he wasn't.
No plans. Yeah.
Oh, man. Anything? I got nothing else, I think, from the challenge. Just sort of like good for Devin and Gabby, a surprising win.
Yeah, good for Devin. I mean, Devin, like a lot of these people talk up what they're good at. And at least Devin backs it up. He says he's like smart and good at these puzzles. And here comes a puzzle type challenge and he wins it. Comes from behind and wins it.
I love your like type challenge because like, was this a puzzle? But I mean, memorization is a mental skill. I'm not trying to say that it's not a skill.
especially after, you know, I'm sure running back and forth all those times was very tiring and your brain's not operating at full capacity. So, you know, good for Devin to win this one as the one, like, he would have a better chance of winning.
I mean, that's my excuse when I get, like, tired. I walked from my bedroom to my kitchen in my one bedroom New York apartment, and I'm like, oh, I couldn't possibly think clearly now.
Definitely not.
All right. I had fun with that. Like, Devin is definitely a jerk, but I laugh. I'm sorry. This is like you with bananas, but you know, give me 10 years of Devin's toxicity and maybe I'll start dogging him too. But like, he makes me laugh. The Big Brother loser, Big Brother sucks, VIP lounge. Scally had a great tweet. Did you see Scally's tweet about that?
Yeah, I did. They're very funny. What you order versus what comes in the mail, comparing it to Big T's lounge. Yeah. Very good by not Brian Cohen Scally.
Yeah, not to confuse people by mentioning that his name is also Brian, but.
Yeah.
Can I say I also like that they've been doing the podcast for what, 3 years? Like a very significant amount of time, and it's only now become an issue that people can't seem to tag you guys correctly.
And it keeps happening. And we keep calling it out publicly, and people still do it. I hope it continues because it's so funny. But like, it's only been happening the last 2 months or something. It's wild.
But anyway, yeah, I mean, the igloo was fine. I was impressed, I think, the most with Corey here. Corey's way that he's able to convince Amber M to get jazzed about going in. Annie Abrams says, is Corey smarter than people give him credit for?
It's somewhat. I mean, he's smart. I mean, compared to like some of these other people, he seems a lot smarter. Like if you have any sense of a strategic brain, you're smarter than most people there. So that helps. But he's also, I mean, he screws up a lot of the time. So that kind of goes against it, but Corey's a good player. Like, overall, he's just a good player, so him making a smart move is not surprising.
I think Corey has grown into his position in the house a lot. Like, when Corey was first like a young buck, they were sort of like under the wing of Wes and sort of like malleable, and I think Corey plays his own game now, so if maybe he's not getting credit because of how he started, but I think that's a viable strategy to sort of like be in an alliance and like listening to other people, whatever. Don't at me if that's not correct. My understanding, you know, perception's reality. But when you say smarter than people give him credit for, I mean, what people? I'm out here stumping for Corey every GD day. And I was thrilled to see him work his partner over like this. And he succeeded.
Yeah. I mean, like, we saw, you know, Dad CT come in with a calmer, better demeanor, able to talk to people. We have Dad Corey. Sure, he's learned a few things over the last, you know, couple of years with raising a kid. If I've had to talk to people and, you know, relate to them and keep calm and all that stuff. So sure, he's starting to apply some of it.
In direct comparison to that, let's talk about Devin trying to persuade Gabby to not go in by saying, look, put yourself in my shoes. I'm the most vindictive person in the world and I've been wronged. I was living for that.
Devin with revenge is very funny, but it's so tough for both of them because I kind of said at the top, they're both 100% right, and they're both 100% right not to listen to the other side. Like, there is no upside for Devin to risk his game for Gabby, and there is no upside for Gabby to help Devin keep his skull. So they're very much at a standstill.
And I think Gabby is the loser here because Gabby holds the cards, right? Like, we assume that if they went to a 1-1 tie where Gabby votes them in and Devin doesn't, that they'd go in if they can't decide, right? Is that what we assume?
That's what I would think. I mean, that's been like the precedent set, but when usually it's when they're voting for two different teams. We've never seen it where they're voting for themselves, so I don't know how that would go out.
But, you know, Gabby doesn't even try to see what the tying mechanism would be. Like, that, I think she, right. But like, she, I think it's not only because Devin swayed her. I think she also was intimidated by Hallbrawl, and I think she saw her friend as the opponent. And I think, you know, I don't think it's Devin's fault. I think her nerves got the better of her. It would be scary. It would be scary to throw yourself in.
It would be, but I mean, you know, this is, you know, doubling down on 11 against like a 6, like sometimes it's scary to do it, but you just have to do it. And if you get a 4, you know, sucks to suck, but you just got to do it.
Well, you talked about Devin and revenge. Caitlin says, lol at Cam saying Devin's game is all about revenge, while she went about coining toxic tea and was hell-bent on getting Teresa out for weeks.
Yeah, that was not the best confessional look for Cam. She's acted out of revenge plenty of times, and that's okay. If you have an enemy, there's nothing wrong with trying to get them eliminated. It just, you know, doesn't just, but don't mock someone else for doing it also.
I believe you could roll the clip of 20 minutes ago, me saying I stand a spiteful queen or I am a spiteful queen. Mm-hmm. We were laughing about it with Cam last week. Like, no one is more motivated by revenge than Cam. And yeah, to have her have that confessional, it was a rare moment where production like makes her not look great. Scott Norman says, who wins the most preposterous statement award? Fessy saying that Big Brother people think three steps ahead of everyone else. And, or Cam saying she wouldn't use power to take revenge after she just did that to Jay and Teresa.
And also, the entire theme of this season was, you know, Cam being very upset at CT for spiting her in the, right off the start. And like, did she bend fences with CT? No. So like, yeah, it's crazy. But I mean, I guess to say Big Brother people think steps ahead, I wouldn't, you know, so that's that crazy. But Fessy being included in that camp, I would say, is crazy.
Well, Chappelle raised the point last week that, like, we don't have good Big Brother players here, right? It's like, right, the Big Brother people that they didn't want to bring back on Big Brother that they thought were more suited for, like, the strategic level of the challenge, which is not as high and for most people. And, you know, we don't really need to see them again. So it's like, you're the worst of the worst of Big Brother.
Which is funny, because two of the four are, like, the more of the more recent winners of the show, which is funny.
I know what I said.
I know. I know what I said.
No, I mean, it's, you know, is Big Brother broken? I don't know. Yep. Okay, let's go. Let's talk about the Devin and Gabby thing. You're being very diplomatic and very fair and saying that, like, both of them were totally justified. And I think Devin even more was being a douche about it. Like, I think Gabby is sort of more in the right just because the way Devin's carrying on. But I only want Josh to go against CT, and I want that so badly that I was, like, mad at Gabby for being rational and getting in the way of that, my happiness.
Yeah, that would have been, you know, a lot of fun. I would have loved to have seen CT down there and Josh not be thrown in and be like, oh, this is my chance to prove myself. I could have won. That would have been great.
Did you get feels watching Leroy and Nani reflect and Leroy talk about how he sort of wants this for Nani, like he wants it for himself?
Yeah, it's sweet because it's like watching these people like on like a franchise, like a favorite team that has sucked for a decade. Like, you just want to see them, you know, they stuck it through the downs of the team, the highs. You want to see them win the championship, and like you just want to see, I would love to see them win it together. Let them be partners in the final and both win. Like, that's not going to happen, but man, would that be a lot of fun.
It's hilarious to hear a Yankee fan talk like he knows what it's like to support a losing team. Yeah, you just imagine that that's what it would be like.
I can imagine. Well, you're Mets now. You're the juggernaut of New York. You got my cousin's money, so you're good to go.
I thought he was related to Cohen Bryant. My mistake. I set you up. I didn't have feels watching them. Josh womp, womp, has corrupted Nani so much to me. And well, jumping ahead to how she acts in the creator, she pulls a full effing Josh after avoiding trying to be the house vote, after Josh pitching, he's the only person at the deliberation pitching not to vote them in. And then after it's all said and done, oh my God, that was taken away from me. I would have loved to go in. I've always wanted to do hall, bro. Like, get out of town. So to me, I don't care if Nani wins. I don't think she has any win equity. And I think if she ended up being Leroy's partner, I would be devastated because my hopes and dreams of Leroy winning would be dashed. And that's really aggressive speak against Nani. But linking up with Josh is the worst thing she ever did for her game. And I'm including when she dated that crazy Adam guy from Vegas.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was. Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, I can't really disagree with any of that. I'm able to look past the Josh stuff for Nani just because I feel like we've been part of her life for so long. I can, you know, look past the bad decision here or there, so I could still want to see her win. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, being attached to Josh is not good. But this is not like Nani would feel this way whether she was attached to Josh. Like, this is what Nani tries to do. She doesn't want to go into elimination unless she feels like 1000% confident that she can win, and she could feel that way against Amber M. So like, that Josh manipulate. Like, that's how Nani would feel, regardless if Josh was in her head there anyway.
Right. But I just mean she acts after the fact as opposed to in advance. But I do think she made a great point about Devin in this conversation, because Devin always says he has the numbers this season and he never does. So I did enjoy her getting that on him of like, he has no power. He wins and still has no power. And like, it's pathetic. And it is true, because we remember when he was saying with Kyle, like, and maybe Wes was still in the game. And he was like, oh, yeah, we have the numbers. And we were like, what numbers do they have? We don't understand. I think Devin just thinks if he says it, it'll manifest.
Yeah, and it is funny that he didn't get, I don't think he got one vote on his side, right? Like, every single person either voted for Corey or themselves. So, like, I don't think any person voted the way Devin wanted them to.
Yeah, so, not a great look for him, but he carries it all. It's sort of the equation where Gabby later says, it's like the thought of, do you actually think it's going to work? I'm not really sure if Devin actually believes he's got the power, or if it's his shtick. Or some sort of, it's not a lie if you believe it. Like, I don't really know where the true Devin lies. I don't know that I want to know. I'm like, okay, maybe, without understanding Devin completely.
Yeah, he's a little man of mystery. We can live with that.
All right. Anything to come out of the deliberation interesting for you?
Not really. I mean, obviously, everyone's making their pitch to go in. Again, I like... I don't remember who said it, but someone was like, just because you want to go in, like, that, you're not just going to, like, forget everything we want to do and do that. Which is funny, because that's exactly what happened last season. I do like that that's completely forgotten about in challenge lore, that anytime someone wanted to go in, like, people just bow down to that. But yeah, I got this season, people aren't doing that. So, I mean, that's better.
I love Darrell's, like, commentary after each speech. They go to the confessional, and Darrell's like... I don't know what, like, Amber makes a speech and he's like, I don't know what Corey fed her, but she is eager and excited to go in, and Corey just can't wait to dump her as a partner. Good job, Corey.
I can't think of anything Darrell has done on the show, but his confessionals have been very funny all season.
Yep, 100%. I think he's definitely shining. The confessionals is probably more laying low around the house. But okay, I want you to rank this. We got three speeches, right? We got Amber... with Corey's addition, I don't know if you can rank them together or separate, up to you. We got Lolo's speech, and we have Josh's speech not to go in. So if you were to say best to worst speech, where you have them?
Well, if Josh is, I'm just going to put him last just because that's my focus. So I'll stick with him being last, because I feel like we've heard from him plenty of times. And I'll give Amber one. I don't know. I don't remember if she said it in this part, or I think she said it in the challenge where she's like, I want to like help Corey because I want to help his kids at home. So, you know, that's nice. That's good partnership. So I'll put her one, just, you know, she wants to really help Corey and the whole crew. So good for her. She's number one.
Far be it from me to not stand someone standing Ryder K, but I like that you took the personal perspective. I think from a persuasive perspective, not that these speeches matter, right? So who cares? But I think Amber has the best speech in terms. I agree with you. She sets the tone. She starts, and I thought it was a confident, probably somewhat intimidating. Like I would say maybe 2% Gabby ended up being intimidated by Amber, maybe. Like, I'm ready to go in. I want this. I thought it was a great point to say my partner and I are aligned. Like, we're not a team where you're going to piss one of us off by voting us in. And then Corey adds and highlights her and says, like, I think it's really cool that she's one of the first women to say, I want to go in. We should honor that, whatever. Great team morale. I'm always looking for that. One. Second best, I got to give it to Josh. I wanted it to be. I have in my notes, this is the dumbest speech of all time. I wrote that before he even said it. But I have to say, like, you know, he says this annoying line that's like, oh, like, Devin's campaign to my friends to sway them, and I don't even think I need to talk to you guys about it because they feel so good about us. Okay, well, then you proceed to talk to them about it and pressure them. But I thought he employs, as a Jewish woman, I can appreciate how he employs guilt to his advantage and says, like, you know, I know my friends have my back, so I don't even have to worry about it. I thought that was persuasive. I don't think he was ever on the chopping block, so unnecessary, but okay.
Right.
And then coming in a hard number three is Lolo with the terrible beg. I thought not only did she come across beggy, but every point she made was a reason not to vote them in. So the way she said our partnership is terrible and I need to be separated, and then Nam adds, you know, honorable mention for worse, with Nam being like, yeah, like maybe we could start reaching our full potential if we're separate. The last thing these people want to do is have an Olympian and a beast reach their full potential.
Totally. Unless, I guess you could be thinking, you know, as Big Brother would say, 30 steps ahead, and maybe now you can get one of them as your partner. That could help.
But for the most part, I don't want them reaching their full potential against me in an elimination. Mm-hmm. And then Lolo adds, I know you're afraid to go against me. So highlighting that any woman would have to go against her if they vote her in. And I'm not afraid to go against anyone. Okay, well, again, like, why are you making yourself sound most intimidating possible? Corey says, like, or Darrell, I think Darrell says, like, you together, dysfunctional, is exactly where I want you guys to be.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, especially from their perspective, where they don't, like, they're not longtime people. They have friends who could be like, look, if, you know, this was like Leroy and has a whole like crew of people that are like on his side. He could be like, I have a horrible partner or partnership. I need to get out. Help me get out. Like, no one's, you know, standing Lolo and Nam like for years to help them out. Like, they're all, you know, very new to this world. So they don't have that, you know, friendship outstanding.
No, very true. So I pulled this question. I put it here. Probably would have been better almost anywhere else. And yet here we are. mostly because this was the first time we really see people jockeying to try to go in. Ben James says, should they get rid of the red/gold skulls next season? They remove drama and, quote, I want my skull conversations are getting boring. With a good format and hungry cast, most people will see an elimination anyway. So are you ready to make a ruling on the skulls in general, or should we kick the can down the road?
I'm very tempted to kick the can because I always like making future Brian make these problems and I don't like dealing with them. But honestly, I think if I had to pick between the skulls or no skulls, I think I would choose skulls. I don't like, I get staying out of eliminations is part of the game and is good, like as a player, but as a viewer, I find it very boring when, you know, the same person is voted in week after week after week. And at least there's some degree of that not happening here. I think there's a way to make the skulls better. And I think, you know, maybe that's the kicking the can down the road answer, is just improving this. But I think needing to win elimination is a good addition to this show.
I'm torn. Sorry, I got distracted. I'm singing Torn in my head. I'm torn because I think I was pretty anti-Red Skull last time. I was open-minded to the skull twist changing this time. It seems yet again that it will be completely inconsequential, except for the fact that people do seem motivated to go in and are motivated this season more than ever to keep people out. So, okay, good. They're, like, using it. I want to see a consequence for someone not going in. And again, it doesn't seem like we're going to have that. And to me, the skull twist does not work unless there are fewer opportunities than people. And you say you snooze, you lose, because TJ's bullshit little shame speeches in the crater, I almost said in the convent, aren't working. Like, why would I go in when I know there's going to be another opportunity? Because you're not lopping us off. Lop them off, and then maybe we'll have a conversation about the skulls working. I'm a curmudgeon. Like, I would like to do a season again without it. I think we have the athletic talent to back up, like, no real layups that it, I mean, I know it was like Jay going in multiple times, Huff going multiple times, but I think we are moving to an era where 90% of the cast are not layups. So you can't really have that. And I'd like to see people compete. And I feel like it's, I don't know. Maybe I just talked myself into what you're saying, which is like they should have to compete to go in. But I don't like that Nam and Lolo and CT are like being gatekept from being able to have an opportunity for the final. Maybe I just have to wait for it to pay off and they will get an opportunity because everybody will get an opportunity and I'll change my mind. But I'm sort of anti-skull with the opportunity to, like, with further reform, enjoy it more potentially.
So what if instead of needing to win elimination, to get your skull.
Sure,
what if
in
it
on
was,
it.
What if it was needing to win a daily to get into the final? And like, you still have eliminations to, you know, obviously cut people, and then how many, you know, you get to the final, you can get to the final with how many people, but if you win a daily, you're guaranteed a spot. That way people are always still competing, you know, no one's throwing stuff and things like that. You always still have a chance, so you're not, you don't need a jockey to get into elimination because you, oh, I could try to win the next daily. Like, would that play better?
I'm open to it. I'm open-minded. What about bringing back a consequence to doing shitty in the daily? That one of the only three people the house vote can be between, or the only three people the power couple team can be between, but are the last three finishers in the daily. Why not go back to that? At least, like, as a motivator to compete, or as just some sort of consequence to not performing. I'm open to that too. Bring that back. Maybe that's sort of the problem with a non-skull season, is like, you really can coast on just your social relationships.
You could. Yeah, that you could bring that. Or, I mean, if you wanted to cut the skull twist, I think if you brought back the relic, I like that idea, where if you win elimination, at least you're safe for the next week. So at least it forces people to change things up on at least a week-to-week basis. And like, you get a power with the relic or something like that. Obviously, those powers usually those suck the last time they do it, but if they revamp those, that could be a little bit better. I think that, I mean, there are ways to always mix things up. I just think if the choice was skull or no skull, I lean skull, but I think there's ways to improve.
I mean, in my life, I too choose skull over no skull. Oh, no skull. Also, I did not have bring back the relic on my 2021 bingo card, but you know.
Right.
We're open.
Well, they already brought it back. It's in the swamp, so.
We're open. We're open.
Yeah. Bring back the card tossing. I like that. That was fun.
The card tossing?
The card, whatever the free agents method was.
Oh, yeah, the flipping the card. That's what I was thinking about when I said make a consequence for coming in the last, like, bottom. Because you remember Leroy famously, it was like, I just don't want to be in the, or was it, what was his strategy? It was like to come right in the middle, or was it to be in the bottom and flip a card and take the chances?
No, I think it was to be in the bottom. So that way he couldn't 100% be voted in.
Yeah.
He wanted like a 1 in 3 chance to flip.
Yeah, that was it. I love that. Yeah, bring that back.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like, well, we would hate that. I feel like it would, like, 2 weeks, we'd be like, this sucks.
I still think as free agents is my favorite modern season. It could still even be called modern, because I feel like a lot of the people are no longer with us, but
they're alive. Well, yeah.
No, I just mean like not on the franchise anymore. No,
yeah. They're on the OG.
But are we doing a podcast about OG? We should really talk about this off air, probably. We haven't talked about it. We keep getting great DM updates from Allegory and Scally, and you and I have never once discussed it. Anyway.
When is it premiering? Have they given a date yet?
Imagine me knowing. I meant to ask.
I don't know.
I will ask Allegory. I love that format. I really wish they would do a free agents too. Put that into the atmosphere. Manifest that.
They did a season with a pseudo card flipping a little while ago. I don't remember the details of it, but obviously, but there was something like it.
I'm a few more bars on that, Brian. They did a pseudo card flipping. I don't remember the details.
Yeah, they did something where it was like free agents, but it wasn't free agents. I can barely remember what happened last week, but I know they did something with it. I think it was during one of the trilogies that there was something with it.
Okay, you took a swing.
At me. You can at me, people.
Don't at me. He doesn't speak for me.
Yeah. cut Allie off the Twitter thread and just at me.
Yeah, you can at him at Cohen Brian Barfield. All right. Whatever. I mean, nothing really to say. Everybody, I didn't even write down the faces. Almost everybody votes for Amber and Corey. Great. They're compromised. Yep. Did you have any idea going into the crater who Devin and Gabby decided on? This was a surprise to me.
No, I didn't. It was very funny just in their little deliberation between Devin and Gabby. Devin just like, you know, like kid in the candy store, like, oh, what if we did this person? Let's do this person. Let's do this person. And Gabby was like, I don't know what you're talking about anymore. That was very funny. I did enjoy their banter.
Well, it does seem like they went with the only person that Gabby had a good reason to say no to. She was like, there's no reason for me to turn against Berzotra because she had my back last week. Like, why would I go against her? And then they do, and Devin claims it was Gabby's idea. So I feel like we're missing a little bit here.
Yeah, it like the outcome doesn't make sense. Obviously, you know, hindsight 2020, or really it was like, you know, 2100. Gabby should have just forced herself down there and figured it out. But I don't know, like, what the upside here was for either. I don't know what either of them gained out of this move, really.
It but ends up being the biggest botch to me of someone in power, you know, since Cam at the beginning of the season, and I even said that was a good move. Like, what is the point? There's no revenge from Devin's perspective. There's no big threat going home. There's no, like, I don't understand, unless it's like, get somebody who's sort of weaker than Gabby to have a skull so that there's someone she's can take their skull, or there's someone who becomes the target ahead of her when she ultimately has a skull. But that is so thin, it does not hang together.
Yeah, no. And Fessy would like a word about the worst move with power in this season.
He would like a word. That's fair. Oh, my beer. Fair enough.
But yeah, I don't, there was nothing to gain for that Gabby got out of this, other than, you know, being mocked on TJ's gnarly ranking. Other than that, there's nothing there.
And Devin even worse. Like, okay, so Darrell's in the Big Brother alliance, sort of. Mm-hmm. But I think Darrell could be swayed if Darrell's a smart man who's looking out for himself and his family. If you have an argument to be made, Devin, that's like a good move that would benefit Darrell, I think he'd be open to hearing it much more than Josh or Fessy or Leroy, mm-hmm. even when it comes to him with Cam. Like, Darrell's ready to cut Amber B any day. And I think mm-hmm. when that happens, he's going to need a place to land.
Yeah. And Devin didn't even like get the kudos from Nam or CT from the discussion earlier, like from that one also. So yeah, this was a lose-lose for Devin and Gabby. Bigger for Gabby, obviously, but not great for Devin.
No kudos. None at all. Let's talk about that it's Hall Brawl with a twist. Shelby Hein Miller says, what did you think of the modification to Hall Brawl?
So unfortunately, I have to give it an incomplete just because we didn't really get to see it. We didn't get to really see it play out. Like, this was an atrocious elimination. Like, I'm sorry. Like, Amber M was running without a ball. Her helmet was like covering her head. Like, she's a kid in the Little Giants. Like, there was like, we didn't get to see it like play out to see like how it would go. I think it's interesting, and I'm excited to see them do it again so we can really see it. But we just didn't get to see it.
I would need to ask Renap Grams to cut this part of it for promo, but I shouldn't laugh that loud over what you're saying for promotional purposes. I have to get it incomplete. Fair.
Right? I mean, what would you give it?
I mean, I think haven't we seen a modification of Hobra like this before? I feel like I've seen it where they've had to run past each other multiple times where like they might, or no, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of where it was like the zigzag. So like you didn't know where you were going to mm-hmm. hit in the hall. And I think Leroy shouts or someone shouts like, you're going to have to be in head to head contact to have a chance at this. Like, you can't just keep avoiding her and letting her get to the ball. To me, Hall Brawl doesn't need to be improved. It's gripping. It's exciting at its best. This was not its best. I don't think mm-hmm. them doing Hall Brawl regular would have been exciting either. So fine. You're right that mm-hmm. it's incomplete. But I don't think it needs anything besides giving it all your all you have to lock up together and then ring the bell and see who wins two or three times. Mm-hmm. That's perfect as is.
Yeah, honestly, the more you're talking about it, I actually think this is a making it worse. I couldn't think of another word for that. It was making it worse because I like the idea of like if you lose like the first round, you're able to adjust and do something different the second time. Whereas here, you just, you know, you're going so quick, and once you fall behind early, it's probably going to be over. So I like the idea that you can adjust and make changes for the next couple rounds. So yeah, actually, I would say this is a bad idea.
All right, the grade has been completed. The last assignment was turned in. The grade has changed mm-hmm. to a D from an incomplete.
Yes.
Little Giants. Nani with the coldest take of all time to say, like, guys, listen to this. This might be crazy, but I get excited when I see Hall Brawl. Nani, like, every freaking person gets excited when they see Hall Brawl. Every mm-hmm. challenger wants to do Hall Brawl. Like, why are you acting like you invented, like everybody's gonna, like, Fessy mm-hmm. betrayed his best friend to be able to do Hall Brawl. And you're out here 16 years never once spoke up about Hobrall, had the opportunity to say something, and were just like, I hope I see my name on that board. You actively campaigned not to be on that board. I was so frustrated with this.
Well, this is the new and improved Dani the competitor. Like, you know, maybe she's like, you know, zoned out every other elimination because she couldn't care less the past 9 years. Now she's like, oh, I'm actually doing like a competition show. Let me like watch and see what goes down here. And now she's like, oh, this is a cool one.
The way that you defend Nani with maybe one of the most insulting defenses I've ever heard. Like, oh, maybe she, let me put it to you this way. Maybe she just hasn't been paying attention and just finally decided to care. Like, I love how we're in a place where that's a defense of a person.
I mean, is it non-zero chance? That could be.
It's nicer than what I said. So yeah. You have that.
I love Nani, though. I love her. I love her to death, but, you know.
You love her to death. You would die for my. You're telling me right now you'd take a bullet for Nani?
Eh. maybe like the pinky toe, but other than that.
You'd give up a toe? I'm not giving up a toe. I need that for balance, so I read.
Right. Yeah, you got all that balance skills.
Okay, well. All right. Ben Dupuy says, do you think TJ went a little too hard on Gabby? Sure, she made a dumb move by not going on. But it felt like TJ took every chance he got to rub it in her face.
I think the worst thing that he said was that she was equal level to Amber. Like, that was by far, like, to say, geez, I totally support TJ ripping her. He's done that to everyone all season for not going in. But to say she's the equal level to the little giant character is kind of mean.
Yeah. I mean, Gabby's got, like... I'm bad at estimating weight, but 25 to 50 pounds of muscle and height over Amber. Yeah. Like, she is a physically stronger person than Amber based on size alone. And then we get the benefit of seeing maybe the most pitiful performance in elimination history. I mean, I was like, is this what watching the challenge back in the day used to be like when people weren't professional athletes? Like, this, this maybe was like a throwback to the challenge days we used to have, but we haven't seen an elimination like this in a long time.
Yeah, no, 100, I totally agree. Yeah, it was bad. It was bad.
If anybody was thinking, and we'll talk about this in a minute, if Amber's going to come back, I mean... this performance was a disgrace to the challenge. I'm sorry. Could have been. I never say this. I am a couch potato. I am watching this at home. I try to acknowledge that I have no ability. I could have done better in this challenge than Amber. I'm sorry. I'm saying it.
I will 100% say you definitely could not have done worse. So I will then say you.
Are you saying I'm equal level? I'm equal level.
A little better. You're a little. I would say a little bit gnarlier.
I mean, it's literally saying that I like could hold the ball or notice that I dropped
so
it.
Bad.
Why did she continue to run when she dropped the ball?
I don't know. She dropped it purposely. She's like, oh, I got the ball. I can drop it now. Like, what? Oh, Amber. Oh, boy.
With TJ's lecture of Gabby, I'm getting tired. I feel bad for TJ. He's getting trotted out to sort of peer pressure these people to make dumb moves. There's no reason. I can't stress enough. They have not, and I will hope to eat my words if they lop people off next week, but they have given them no reason to put themselves in ever. Like, yes, Gabby should have gone in, but do I understand wanting a little more time to make more of an on-camera relationship with Fessy to see what happens, to get more screen time? Yeah, absolutely. So TJ coming out and shaming someone for not going in when they're not even backing it up with a format to motivate someone to go in, I have no time for. And it's making me dislike TJ's lectures.
Yeah, and again, you know, give them the rules that they know. Like, if Devin knew it was a girls' day, Gabby 100% would have been down there and we wouldn't have had to deal with this. But the fact that there was a chance Devin could have gone in, well, Devin's like, he's not going to risk it. And then at least tell them, okay, if you disagree, you're coming down. And then Gabby would have gone in. Like, tell them tell them the rules that they could follow them.
All right. So they pick Amber B and Darrell. Rourke and Akiva both messaged me about this. Like, if it happened to be a guy's day, it would have been No Skull Corey against No Skull Darrell. And Akiva's like, it's broken. It can never be that. And Rourke was like, did they almost make it have to be a girl's day because the guys had no skulls? I think we've speculated that two people without a skull could go in. I want to get your thoughts on how you'd feel about that. Akiva was very much of the impression of the opinion that like the format's broken because of it. Whereas I feel like it's not the ideal, but at worst, it has the stakes of a regular elimination of a season with no skulls. That like if you end up down and you get outsmarted by the skull people and you end up against, if it was Corey against Darrell, they'd still have stakes. They'd still have to compete to even stay. And they would know that they'd have to go in again to get a skull. I'm fine with watching an elimination like that.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. I'm even more fine with it if it's a deliberate act of the house with the people with skulls to be like, let's all work together and vote people in who don't have it so we don't risk losing it. If it's by chance that they're like trying to do a girl's day and it turns out to be a guy's day and they don't have skulls, that would be a bummer. But if it's a deliberate move, I think that sounds like great, because that's a level of strategy we don't normally even see on the challenge in general. So if they can do that, then that's great.
We get a very annoying Josh and Ani moment where after the decision is made, Josh, very relieved, starts calling them out. Bjorksen says, is it just me or are Josh and Ani just deplorable? First, Josh says, we're all sucked in here. We're all stacked in here. And then they both confident. They're both confident being thrown in only because they know it's Amber M. I'm so tired of this performance from Josh. I'm sorry, Josh lovers. Please, you know what? At me and let me know how you watch Josh be upset about going in. Although I think he more or less handled it well through the episode of like, okay, it's going to be me, whatever, fine. To then calling Devin the P word, calling him out, saying throw me in when he knows they can't change their mind or won't. Well, like what? And probably knows it's a girl's day because they see someone brought it up. Like you see Hall Brawl and it's the repeat. Adam says, don't the double agents know if it's a guys or girl's day based on the elimination repeats? For example, they already did Hall Brawl for the guys. So obviously it's going to be a girl's day. So now Josh is piping up.
Yeah. Like even if Josh was just strictly mad at like just for not like supporting Nani, I can get behind that as like a partner, as a friend. But again, he makes it about him when he doesn't want to go. Like he just makes things about him that's not about him. And even when it's sort of about him, he like doubles down on it to make sure it's even more about him. Yeah, it's tired.
Where is Nani though saying I want to go in, right? Like she says, okay, Amber and I want each other, but Amber, make yourself the house vote and then ask Gabby to throw you a bone and put me in. Like Nani's not going to Gabby, at least that we see, and asking to be put in. So I'm sorry. All I see is you yelling about it when it's too late to go in.
Nani was all over the place. Like she started the episode wanting to go in. She's like, I want to win so I can go in. And then when she lost and couldn't specifically pick, she was upset. And then when she could go in, she was upset. And then when she couldn't go in, she was, you know, it has to be put on a silver platter for her a lot of the times. And when it's not, she gets upset.
And maybe part of the rationale of putting Amber in is like, once Amber M is the house vote. I'm just thinking about this now retroactively. Like, almost anyone you put in is going to beat her. So, like, do you really want to punch Nani's ticket to the final and have her come back with a fake excuse to be mad at you? Like, probably not. So maybe you put in Amber B, you give her your skull, and you're not that intimidated or worried about them winning and putting you in. So maybe it was just it's just like, that's the way the cards fell. Amber B was in. Amber M was in instead of Josh and Nani. So like, there's no one I can really put in that she'll take out.
I feel like it's honestly kind of surprising that they wouldn't go with CT and Big T here, because Devin clearly had a reason to want CT to get a shot to get a skull. And if Gabby and Big T and it, like they're all friends, they all want to get skulls. And this is an opportunity for Big T or Amber to get a skull because they probably wouldn't beat anyone else. So I think that's actually the win-win move that they could have done to help their friends is to vote them in.
Well, I do wonder if CT doesn't want to be a rogue agent next week.
Okay. I guess that's all right. So that's a good point for that.
Plus, part of me wonders also how much Big T wants to even go in, because she says like, oh, yeah, well, we all want to go in. But do they all want to go in? Because I didn't see any campaign from her about it.
Yeah, Big T has been quiet last few weeks.
Quiet T. But OK, we see the Hall Brawl. We talked about it. We don't care. I think that's it.
Surprise, Amber is sticking. Any surprise Amber sticking with Darrell?
No, but I think she's going to be mad when Darrell drops her the first chance he gets.
Yep. I hope Darrell gets a chance. Hope he gets it soon.
We do get a line of Amber B yelling at Darrell and saying, like, you lied to me. And he's like, I didn't lie to you. I broke a promise. So we did get him saying, I promise I'm not going to switch with you. So, you know, we're ready. We're ready and we're salivating. I'd love to see Amber B get knocked down a peg. Sorry to be mean about it. Corey, the familiar rogue agent, sixth partner of the season coming at him next week.
That's wild. Oh, wow. Six. Probably we'll get a seventh at some point.
Let's do a little eulogy for Amber M. Annie Abrams says, do you think we're seeing Amber M again? I'd love to see her again simply for her house antics. She brings back the older season drama, which I miss.
Yeah, I mean, she is a different type of person that this show needs. They need people to, you know, get in the mix, so a couple of people, all that type of stuff. But you also need some level of athletic ability to kind of back it up, that you're not like the ultimate layup. So I think there's a lot of other people that could pick from that could fit the good qualities of Amber that would be better, have better of the qualities that Amber is lacking.
If she indeed had a dramatic relationship with Meech and they didn't show it, I don't think they like her. You know, like, they gave her plenty of screen time and she delivered. I think she delivered from a social perspective, from a drama perspective. She has a great line last week where she's like, look, I'm going to put it short and not dramatic. I think you're a shady bitch. Like what she says to Amber B. Like, I think she delivered some Ari the One level, real world level drama to the challenge. But I agree with you. Like, I think part of what worked for her this season is, one, the skull twist that, like, they didn't want to just give people, like, easy walks to the final. And two, there was a certain level of confidence that she had, that she was like, don't underestimate me, don't underestimate me. And I think, you know, if you fake it till you make it, that works. I think this performance, she will have a hard time justifying not being immediately sent in against anyone in the the first time she's back. So I don't think she's coming back. If I were a betting woman.
I wouldn't think so. I would not think so.
All right, let's do our crap.
All right. Got the jerky game. Thank you, Kyle Picard. There were 19 this week. Rookie one elimination. Shout out to Amber. TJ offering his opinion, questioning Gabby. One time someone acting out of revenge. That's obviously Devin. I feel like there should be more than one, but just one. 9 subtitles. 3, someone sleeping in bed. And 2 times Kyle's teeth. And he noted, I can't not notice it now in every single confessional.
Wait, did we get a fire count? Give me that again.
Oh, and 2 fire. Yep, 2 fire.
Kyle, sir, I don't like to argue with you, but I think each flame on that torch counts, my friend. I think we have 1,000 fire plus the explosion. I assume he counted 1 for all the torch. But then anytime to me you cut away and you from fire and you cut back and see a torch, that's a fire sighting.
Mm-hmm. Drink. A lot of drinks.
Annie Abrams says, Ali, you must have ESP. That fire rule for the drinking game was timed just right. And the disrespect from Kyle Bacardi, I defend you, Kyle, against nitpicker Brian, but I'm upset.
Have you always called him Bacardi? Because I like that.
I said it once. My brother said it, and he was like, I haven't heard that since college. I think it works.
I mean, it fits. Yeah, it works. Especially for this role. Kyle Bacardi.
Let's bring the DDs in. Kate, Matt, and Stuart.
Do we want to add a rule or no?
Oh, I don't have rules this week, but I can think of one.
It's pretty full. We can kind of let it sit for a week. We got a lot of rules out
That's
there.
That's perfect, because nothing really came to mind. And I think Kyle needs extra time to really be counting all the fire that gets split in. So
Should we cut a rule?
I like when we cut a rule. I'll cut a rule.
All right, let's cut a rule.
Tell me the rules. He only sends it to you. Yeah. Which I'm fine with, to be clear. I'm happy sent to me.
This would be an easy one to cut, because it just never really hasn't happened. Anytime bananas is mentioned, we can cut that.
Let's talk about that for a second. Are you I'm very surprised that they haven't mentioned him.
Yeah. I mean, if it would have happened, you would have thought it would have been the first couple weeks. But yeah, he's just, I mean, nothing. Just no mention, nothing.
Wow. Yeah.
All right, but the rest of them. Yeah, the rest of them. So we have a rookie winning elimination, fancy graphic. I like that still.
Tell me which are yours. Body part. Are these all yours?
So the next batch are mine.
Okay.
Fancy graphic, blurred body part, TJ offering his opinion, someone acting out of revenge, when you don't know why someone is doing something in the daily, when someone is FaceTiming someone. Yeah, we can cut that one. I don't even know what that means. I think it was coming from the drone challenge where we didn't know what the hell's going on. Anytime someone's FaceTiming from home, subtitles, and the show making things up on the fly. Those are mine.
Okay.
Yours are someone sleeping in bed.
A classic.
This is so good. That's a classic. This is so good.
So wait, Kyle didn't feel anything was good this episode.
No, nothing good.
Good. I like that. He's measured. Okay.
Yeah. All bad. Vintage TJ look. The partner switch. A nickname. Puzzle timeout. And fire.
I gotta say, Mari, I think edit. Mine are my. No,
yours,
no notes.
Yours are
good. Mine are great.
Nothing to go. Mari had the inappropriate club clothes. Jason added the womp womp. Kind of the opposite of this is good.
did Kyle have any womp womps, or he was just neutral?
Yeah, no womp womps.
Okay, so just straight neutral.
So nothing good, nothing womp womps. It's all neutrals. Alan added mispronouncing a word. And Chappelle added Kyle's teeth. Kyle's teeth is that's a good one. That's a really good one.
I'm honestly disappointed we didn't come up with it.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I think I would cut vintage TJ just by your logic of like it hasn't happened.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm aspirational. But let's be cutthroat. I'll cut that one.
Yeah, and I'll cut the when you don't know, because I don't even know what it means. So cut the rule that I don't know what someone is doing in the alley, because I don't know what that rule means.
All right. So our DDs are coming in, and Brian, my guy, you're dragging the team down.
I'm sorry.
You're an anchor.
No, it's not good. It's not good.
Again, it's bullshit that we don't get points for how quickly the people of our team left. Scally has now caught up with me where we're 5-5 with 3 remaining. I have Amber B, Devin and Kyle left. I still feel great. Anissa, Corey and Casey left for Brian Scally. Matt has a whole slew of people left and you have one less person than Matt. So you have Big T, Darrell, Gabby, Cam and Leroy. Very nervous about the Cam and Leroy.
Yeah, that's not good.
I'm obviously nervous about Kyle. Matt has CT, Fessy, Josh, Lolo, Nam, and Nani. I think he objectively has like the strongest overall team, but you and I might be saddled with the winners and Brian Scally with Casey. So we will see how that plays out. I currently, if I'm making this about individual games, am winning with 11 points, Biggest Loser, to Scally's 9, Matt's 8, and your pitiful 5. But that really just makes you a winner. Beautiful. So we can really spin this either way. We either win.
That's great.
Or we're winners.
Yeah, we're this is good and the womp womp together.
But they are officially, I think for the first time in 10 episodes, they have taken the lead by 1 point. So we will see how this goes.
Dun, 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 dun. That was my CNN music.
Loved it. Let's go to the social media. Thank you to digital communications manager Megan Elizabeth. Fessy tweeted, imagine coming after Big Brother the whole game, yet giving us our fourth gold skull. LOL! In all caps. Mm. Whopping 13 likes.
Yeah, it is cool. All 4 of them have skulls. All Big Brother final.
So cool. Devin did a lot of subtweeting the other night. He said, breaking news, woo-hoo emoji, siren emoji. At Corey has 2 female children at home. Mm-hmm. Then Jack Vita of the Jack Vita show said that word on the street is Corey wants on. Hey, at CBS Survivor, hashtag cast Corey. I guess he did some interview with Jay. Remember Jay? And Corey said, yes, sir. 4 exclamation points. I've binge watched all the seasons at Survivor CBS. Prayer hands emoji. I'm trying to not eat for 37 days. LOL. Someone told him it's 39 days. Although I guess
it's crazy if you got eliminated. Maybe he'll get eliminated on day 37.
Maybe he's counting the merge fees and the last day breakfast. So, right. I mean, I'm here for Corey making the jump. I gotta say, I think he could be the first.
It's time. It's not, someone has to. It's time.
Amber Borzotra tweeted a photo of her looking gorgeous, licking a gold mannequin head, saying Gold Skull Gang, hashtag Challenge 36, hashtag Amber Beast. I'm here for it.
I think we need, people need to get a little more creative with the nicknames rather than, like, Killa and Beast need to go. There's, everyone is doing those now.
Wow.
You need a new adjective.
Killa Cam can stay.
That's fine. She could keep it. She's the original. The Beast needs to go.
All right. What did I? We gave each other nicknames in the beginning of this, didn't we? I said something very weird about you. Yikes.
Yeah, I definitely said something weird. I don't remember.
Okay. I'm
glad I can't.
Devin said, I'm actually a big Cam guy, not scared, fire interviews, drinks cold cans, wins dailies, wins eliminations, owns a business. All right. You know what? We live for Devin standing Cam. Fine. Yeah.
I mean, how could you not?
He said, the reason I was acting out last night is because I'm naturally an introvert. I don't know what that word means, but I heard it in college a few times and it makes people forgive me. So that's what I am. Feels like a fessy. Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Oh, I got referenced on the Nicaragua Survivor podcast. Have people in the field tweeting you before you're able to listen. I'm excited to listen to that with AJ Norris and Jacob John. So, even more so if I got referenced. Devin also said, well, tonight's been great fun. Let's all remember there's a one in a billion chance we're not living in a simulation and just relax. And remember, dot, 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 I'm funny. You like me. It's okay. Good night. Smiley face emoji. That's big bananas energy right there.
It is. Yeah, Devin's, I mean, we thought who would be the person to shine without bananas. And, you know, Devin's taking over. Good for him.
But is he pulling it off? Is he pulling it? I mean, I like him, but is he pulling it off?
I think so. I mean, like, yes, he's not the most physical guy, so on that side, but like, he's won a couple dailies, he's won an elimination, he's got that. He's very entertaining in confessionals. Like, people may hate him, but they hate him for like a good reason. Like, he's obviously, he's not doing anything that is like really worth hating. They're hating him as like a TV villain, which is the perfect spot to be in.
All right, thank you to our 5-star viewers, Jessica Frey. Oh, love Jessica Frey. Nolan Lance and Say What? Question mark. Thank you very much. We appreciate the love. We are extremely far off of Brian's impossible goal, but we love it nonetheless. I mean, we're at 846 ratings total. I feel like we can get to 850 ratings next week. We have a nice mid-season push. I know the season hasn't been that great, but here we are, week after week, giving you our souls. So if you like what you hear, we would love to hear about it. Oh, Brian, you also got to mention, sorry, my Nicaragua correspondent said that AJ said something that you and Brian do something on your podcast and used it for this podcast. Well, we look forward to listening to that. I'm behind, but I do intend to listen. Love AJ. So thanks for the shout out, AJ. If you want to give us a shout out, you can go to robhasawebsite.com/challenge iTunes. And hopefully we will get 4 of you. And honestly, if people give us a bad review, it'll still count 850, but you know, we don't love it. So whatever. Yeah. I've lost the thread here, so I'm going to stop.
I did appreciate the 5-star review who said to counteract the 1-star for us making fun of Josh. The 5-star was for Josh making fun of Josh.
We got 2 of those. That person. Two people showed up with that.
Love it. You can, I think you already mentioned, subscribe robhasawebsite.com/challenge iTunes. Follow me on Twitter at Conan with a C, Brian _. They can follow and listen to you elsewhere we're at.
You can follow me at Last Tweets, and you can listen to New Girl Old Guy at anchor.fm/newgirloldguy and leave me alone.
We'll be back next week on episode 11. Until then, have a good one.